Welcome, welcome. I was just, for some reason, my mind has just been going to Los Angeles, and I don't know why. And just looking around, I can see that there's some people here who are in the Los Angeles by the beachside mode. So I think once we're done with this service today, I'm just gonna come to your place, we'll pack up. I'm sure you have first class tickets for me already, because you're in the spirit and you'll be off to Los Angeles. But I'll be back before next Sunday though. Amen. Yeah, but I have actually been thinking about Los Angeles. I don't know why, but I don't know, maybe it's the summer feel that we have in the UK at the moment that's putting those thoughts in my mind. Okay, so it's great to be here again, and we are going to carry on with the series that we've been looking at for the past three Sundays. This is our third Sunday. And we've been looking at the series I've called The Warfare in Your Mind. The Warfare in Your Mind. And I started by describing what warfare is in like physical warfare. And I got a dictionary definition then. I said warfare, I got this in, from Google, by the way. And Google says that warfare is when a unit or a nation attacks another nation with the aim of actually destroying that nation or taking over their resources. So we looked at that in great detail. Then I moved on to spiritual warfare. And I mentioned that every human being that is born is engaged in spiritual warfare, even if we're not aware of it. I looked at a script that says that as human beings, we are spirits, we live in a body, and we have a soul. So the soulish part of us is our feelings, our emotions, and our mind is in that realm as well. So I looked at all that in detail. Then last week, we looked at an example of how the devil wages warfare against us in our mind. But in saying all this, the point, one main point that I've been making along, and I want to remind us of that, so it doesn't become like a scary story, is that irrespective of the kind of spiritual warfare we might be facing, or that the devil throws at us, it doesn't make a difference, because the Bible tells us that we have a victory in Christ. Do you understand? So from God's perspective, we're safe from spiritual warfare. We shouldn't be affected by it. But what the devil does is he knows that, and he tries to sneak in one way or the other to try and manipulate us, because he knows that really, once you're born again, he doesn't have authority over you. So he tries all these funny tricks. So it's just those funny tricks that we are trying to identify so that he doesn't get away with trying to do those things to us. Last week, we looked at an example of a typical strategy of the enemy that is so subtle. And I described that strategy as self-sabotage. Self-sabotage. And we looked at the story of David. David, as we know, was a man that loved God so much. God loved him so much, and he did great things. But the devil whispered something in his ears, and he basically thought that he was the one who wanted to do those things, but he didn't know it was the devil that whispered those things in his ear so that he could do something that would be harmful to him. You understand? Self-sabotage. Because he just couldn't get David. And I mentioned that we might look at David and say, oh, that can never be me. And I said, well, it happens to us in our own little ways, but we need to be aware. And I mentioned that I think I gave an example that of this self-sabotage thing. I remember a very long time ago, I think I'd been married for maybe about 3 or 4 years or something, or maybe 1 or 2 years. So when I got married, I was what you'd call, I mean, I loved God and all that, but I was a gunslinger. Do you know what a gunslinger is? You don't? Anyway, don't worry. A gunslinger in the Western thing is someone that is quick on the draw. So I don't know if they still have these cowboy films nowadays, but in my days, well, back in the day, you had these cowboy films and they would have this music playing and this cowboy will roll into town. If you're smiling, that means you know what I'm talking about. If you're not smiling, that means you were born after 1990. But don't worry. And these guys will roll up and you'll be like this American town in the 1800 something. And this guy would roll up in his horse and he would stand in the middle of the road, well, in the middle of the center, and he'd be like chewing gum and he would have like his cowboy guns and he'd be like, who's next? Who's the toughest here? And people would be scrambling all over, they'd be whispering. You'd be hearing windows shut, sorry, I hope I'm not being too dramatic here. Windows shutting, everybody scattering, all over there hiding. It's like, oh man, this bad guy's in town. And he goes, who's quick on the draw? And someone steps out and say, yeah, I'm quick on the draw. And he says, okay, let's see who draws first. And he goes, now, that's a gunslinger. So how's it relevant to what I'm saying? It's relevant to what I'm saying because in those days when I got married, I mean, I didn't want to take nonsense at all. So if my wife then said something, I'd be like, what do you mean? I was always on the, you know, psh, 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 psh. What do you mean? Why are you talking to me like that? So this particular day, I'm just telling you about self-sabotage here. I don't remember what it was she said, but it wasn't anything major at all. And I just became so angry. And I was like, what do you mean? You shouldn't be talking to me like that. And, you know, so on and so forth. And it was as if something was whispering to my ears, like, what? You're letting her talk to you like that? Don't let her get away with it. And I'd be like, yeah, I've been, you know, you need to know that I'm your husband. The Bible says you should be submissive. You can't be talking to me like this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Then something now whispered to me again. It said, you know what you should do to this? This person, teach her a lesson. And in my mind, I was like, I'm going to teach you a lesson. And I said, what kind of lesson is that one? And I realized that this wasn't me. There was something pushing me. And I now, amen, sister, she's from America. And I now realized that, hang on, what did my wife say then that caused me to be so angry? And I looked at it. I think maybe she said something like, oh, I don't remember quite. Maybe something like, oh, please, can you pick your socks up from the floor and put it in the, what's the name of that thing? That in the laundry bag. Like, some people are like looking at themselves like, okay, when I get home, I promise I'm going to pick my socks up. But I know nobody does that here. So it was something as simple as that. And she didn't even say it in a way that was disrespectful or anything. And I was just gunslinging. And I realized that I was getting these thoughts that were encouraging me to respond aggressively and, in quotes, teach her a lesson. I now paused and I said, hang on, this is weird. Why am I so angry? Why am I so worked up about this? I now realized that, okay, so this is how people destroy their marriages. This is how people will, you know, beat their wives or beat their husbands. And at the end of the day, when you ask them what happened, they'll be like, I don't know what happened. But we know what happened. Self-sabotage. So the devil whispers things in your ears as a form of spiritual warfare so that you will do something that will destroy a relationship that you're in or cause you to do certain things that will harm yourself. And his job is done. Do you understand? So we looked at David last week extensively. So what am I saying? This spiritual warfare is real. However, it comes in very subtle ways because the devil knows if he just appears to you, you know, face to face, he's like, oh, you recognize him. And he knows that as believers, he has absolutely no power over us. So he does all these sneaky things. All right? So that's the summary of what we've looked at. Today, I'm going to be looking at something slightly different, just continuing from there. Today, I'm going to be looking at something I've called, it's still part of this series, strengthening your spirit and your mind. Strengthening your spirit and your mind. Now, what do I mean by strengthening your spirit and your mind? What I mean is developing your mind and yourself and your spirit to the point that you're easily able to recognize these little sneaky things and they don't affect you as much. Do you understand? And when I remember that example that I gave you, the reason why I believe I was able to check myself was because God's word came to my mind. And the word that came to my mind was, hang on, you know, you should love one another. Do you understand? So how do we move towards the place where the sneakiness of the devil doesn't affect us? Or even if we are not affected that way, how do we understand the workings of it so we can educate those around us, we can educate our children, we can tell our neighbor, well, people that are close to us? I remember another example that I gave, then I'll describe the ways we can do it. There was a pastor friend of ours, this was a very long time ago, that was going through a really rough patch. He had problems with his family. Basically, he lost his house, he had nowhere to stay, he lost his job, and he was going through a tough time. So we now said, okay, this was when we lived in West London. We said, okay, don't worry, come and spend a couple of days with us. Let's try and sort all these things out for you. And we started doing that. And I remember one evening I was talking to this pastor friend of mine. And as we were talking, out of the blues, he just said to me, Pastor Benson, I feel like just ending it all. I feel like killing myself. He was telling me this like face to face. And I said, sorry, what did you just say? And he repeated what he said. He said, I just want to kill myself. And I looked at him eyeball to eyeball. And I said to him, what you have just told me right now is not from you. Something has whispered this into your ears. Those are not your thoughts. And it was as if a light bulb went up in his mind and it snapped. And he was like, hang on. What did I just say? And he was like, man, that is so weird because, I mean, yeah, I'm going through a rough patch, but, I mean, life isn't that bad. And he realized that the thoughts that he was getting at that point in time, they were not his thoughts, but he thought that they were his thoughts. So that is a typical example of self-sabotage. So he snapped out of it and he said, hang on, what did I just say to myself? So these things are very subtle. So today we want to look at a number of things. How do we get to the place where we're conscious of these things? Well, when I say conscious of these things, we don't want to be conscious of what the devil is doing. Let him do what he wants to do. We want to be conscious of God. But how can we build our spirits and our minds to the place that these things just like roll off us like duck on, like water on a duck's back, and we're not really taken by these things? So that's what we're going to be looking at today. I'm going to make three points today, but there's a portion of scripture that I'm going to read that will form the basis of what I'm going to be talking about this morning. I'm going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 40 to 47. Luke chapter 2, verses 40 to 47. Now, this is the story of Jesus when he was younger. Well, when he was a young boy. And I will read from verse 40. It says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Note that word, or that phrase. Filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem, as is the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not it. They didn't know about that. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him amongst the kinsfolk and acquaintance.
And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. The verse I want to focus on is verse 40. It says, and the child grew, talking about Jesus, and he waxed strong in spirit. Or, okay, it says, became strong. The other version I'm reading says, became strong in his spirit. So we see in an example of Jesus growing up as a child. And the Bible highlighted a number of things about Jesus. It says that he grew as a child and he became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And the outward, the way you now be looking at this portion of scripture, Jesus had, he grew strong in spirit and he had wisdom, he grew in wisdom and understanding as well. The outcome show of this was when he was in the temple. And the Bible says that his parents left him. Well, they didn't leave him, they forgot him there. And when they came back, he was talking with the pastors, the Pharisees, and these guys knew the Bible, the Old Testament, inside out. I mean, I think one of the qualifications of being a Pharisee then was that you could literally recite the Bible. So these guys knew the Bible inside out, and Jesus was with them, talking with them, asking them questions, and they were asking him questions back, and he was explaining, he was talking with them, and the Bible says that they were amazed at his knowledge and understanding. This was a 12-year-old boy. A 12-year-old boy. You might say, well, it's because he was Jesus. No. The Bible says that when Jesus, although Jesus is God, when he came to the earth, he left his divinity in heaven. So he came and he grew up the same way we grew up. Do you understand? He learned to walk the same way we learned to walk. He didn't just arrive and, yeah, I can walk now. No. He crawled, tried to walk, and fell over a few times as well. So he was exactly like us in that sense, although sinless. So the question that I was asking myself was that, how did Jesus become strong in the spirit, in his spirit? How did he get to the place where he had such understanding as a boy, not to talk less of growing up? It didn't happen by magic, I don't think. It didn't happen just automatically. And I believe that God has made everything so simple for us as well, that even children can understand what the Bible is saying, or children can also be strong in the spirit. So it doesn't require that you have to be an adult per se to understand these things. No. So the question now is, how did Jesus get there? And how can we also progress to get there? The first one I want to say, I have 3 points to make with regards to some things that I believe can help us. And the first one is this. I've called it food and exercise. Food and exercise. What do I mean by that? The Word of God is the food that we need, and the exercise is obeying the Word of God. Now, I'll read a couple of scriptures, then I'll explain what I mean. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the first part, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the Bible says that you and I have to study the Bible. We have to study the Bible. We have to read the Bible. And it's so interesting that there's so many versions. I mean, the Bible is so readily available now. You can have it on your iPad, your iPhone. You can have it on like proper paper. On the internet, it's there. In those days, they didn't have the Bible like we have. In fact, some people were killed previously in England
for having copies of the Bible. So we have it readily available. But if you're like me, I realize that even though we have all these things, we have the Bible so readily available, it appears a bit, It appears that we don't have a lot of time to read the Bible. And for me personally, I mean, I have to like actually put time aside and say, okay, at this time, I'm going to read the Bible. Because I realize that if I don't do that, the time just goes. The time just flies. And it's like, oh, 2 days. Oh, I was going to read John chapter 2 today. Oh, I haven't even seen my Bible for a few. So the time just flies. But it is important that we give time to studying the Bible. There's just no shortcut to it. There's no shortcut to it. And still looking at the same thing, Psalm 119 verse 28 says, "My soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word." John chapter 6 verse 63 says something. It says, it is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So the word of God is spiritual. It's not like a history book. It's not like the Fish Ponds Times. That book. It's not like the... It's spirit. So can you imagine if you went home now and for the next week, next few days, you didn't have any breakfast or any dinner? Oh, that duty. You'd be like properly hungry. And if you survived it, you'd be like really weak and tired. I mean, I think there's some, you know, there's sometimes that, you know, we fast. And I remember the very first time that I fasted. I was like, man, I think, you know, when I became a Christian in 1996, I was so enthusiastic. I was like, man, I read all these books about the, you know, men of God that, you know, they prayed and things happened. They fasted and, you know, things were happening. I was like, yeah, this is what I want to be like. I want to be like a great man. I want to be like, you know, like John Knox and all that. And I said, okay, I'm going to fast. I'm going to do all these things. And I remember the first time that I fasted. And I was like, okay, what's today? Was 9 a.m. I'm going to fast till I'll start with, I said, 3 days. 3 days. I mean, I'm just going to fast. I mean, I said, okay, yeah. That's first day. I was like, yeah, no breakfast. I was like, man, it's like 10 a.m. Hey, why are you guys laughing? This is so serious. I was like, day one, 12 a.m., 10 a.m. I don't know why you guys are laughing. Serious business. I was like, oh, okay, 10. Like, oh, okay, this is. Yeah, I mean, just 3 days, 12 a.m., 12 noon, like, lunch, it was long lunch time, no lunch, no lunch, come on, you can do it, man, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, God, can I start tomorrow? And I'm not quite sure if this is so serious. I think maybe my mom brought like this really nice pot of soup or something. And it was so distracting. Anyway, you guys are making me laugh. Why am I saying this? Why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because, man, I was so famished. I couldn't even think straight. I was like seeing stars. I was like, man, I'm so hungry. I'm not able to function as I would normally. Now, the same thing with the Word of God. We might not recognize it, but when we don't give time to studying the Word of God, we will become slightly famished, spiritually speaking. But because we don't see ourselves, we can't see ourselves spiritually that way. I mean, God still loves us, we're still fine, but we become famished. We're not able to do the things that we would do normally. Do you understand? So we're not able sometimes to resist the voices in our minds because we're just not in as strong as we should be. But saying that, God is so good. God helps us. So I'm not saying if you don't study the Bible, then the devil is going to get you or you're not going to be. I'm not saying that at all. God still helps us. Do you understand? But God wants us to come away from the place where he's always having to help us. Not that he doesn't want to help us, but where we can be knowledgeable and we can help ourselves and help others as well so that we don't fall victim to all these tricks of the devil and all these things. So God helps us, so let's not forget that. But I believe that God wants us to grow up and be strong as well. Do you understand? And that is what the Word of God does to us. How the Word of God strengthens us, I don't know. I don't know. It's just like how you eat your dinner at home and you grow. How does the, you know, all the, how have all the dinners you've been eating for the past 18, 20 or 30 years, how has it made you grow? You don't know. The same thing with the Word of God. It says it's spirit and it is life. So Jesus' parents must have taught him the Word of God. They must have read the Bible to him constantly. And as Jesus grew, he will have spent time reading the Bible as well. And as a result of this, he grew. He grew. So this tells us as well that for our children, we shouldn't think that kids are so young, they don't understand, they can't understand the Bible. Let's just leave them to be, you know, they can read the Bible when they become teenagers and all that. No. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is spirit. And as you teach your children and teach yourself the Word of God, it does something to you. And it will do something to your children as well. It will strengthen them. It will strengthen them. How it does it, I don't know. So I've called this first one food and exercise. So the Word of God as food that strengthens us, that builds our spirit. So the first thing in terms of how we build our spirit, like as I've described here, is food and exercise. The Word of God as the food that strengthens us, helps us to grow. Now, the second thing, I'm going to mention three things this morning and we'll pray. How do we strengthen our spirits? How do we get to the place where our minds are stronger and stronger by the day? The next thing is rest. Rest. Now, when you're running, walking, and going up and down, and you're exercising, and you get tired, what do? You rest. You go home, put your feet up, and you take a nap or something. If you didn't have the ability to take a nap or to rest, and you had to keep going with no rest, no sleep, it will really wear you out. So how do we rest our minds? How do we rest spiritually? Because we do need rest. Our minds are always on the go. We're thinking, there are things that we think about, so on and so forth. So how do we rest? Well, the first scripture I'll read here is Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says something. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So the rest that I'm talking about here comes from Jesus alone. This is the point where Jesus is saying, look, you guys are burdened. You are tired. Come to me, let me give you rest. So the first thing we see here is this. Jesus is concerned about every single one of us. Jesus is saying, look, you don't have to go through this life trying to figure it out on your own, by yourself, with your strength. He says, come to me. So the first thing we must realize is this. Jesus is concerned about you and I, and he wants us to come to him. You know, I've met people who, and rightly so, they say, look, God doesn't care about anything. If you say God cares about me or this, why did this happen? Why did that happen? And all that. And rightly so, we might have that opinion of God when things happen to us in a particular way. But Jesus specifically says here, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. So Jesus is there, and he wants us to turn to him as the source of rest. Now, if I look at John chapter 14, verse 27, we're looking at resting your mind. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So the things that really agitate our minds, that do not allow our minds to rest, is fear, worry, concern. We can't see these things, but those are the things that wear our minds out. Fear. Man, what am I going to do about the future? How about if this happens to me? How about if this doesn't happen to me? Or we're worried. Oh, how am I going to do this? The economic situation is getting really bad. Will I be able to pay my rent? Will I be able to pay? And we have all these things that are constantly weighing our minds down. Because we live in this world and we're human beings. We can't pretend that these things don't exist. God knows all these things exist. And he knows for sure that these are not things that we can make go away by ourselves. That's why he says in John chapter 14, verse 27, he says, there is a certain kind of peace that I can give you, not the kind of peace that the world can give. You know, if, for example, someone gives you, maybe you couldn't pay your rent and someone pays your rent for you out of the blues, you're happy, right? And like, oh, I'm so glad that happened. But that lasts for a short period of time. Something else will come up. Something else will come up. Something else will come up. And what that means is that our happiness will be up and down, could be up and down, based on current circumstances. But Jesus said something here. He said, look, there's a kind of peace that I can give you. Not the kind that is natural. It's a supernatural kind of peace. And this peace will ensure that irrespective of what is going on around you, you're cool. Your heart is settled. But it comes from him. And I was just thinking to myself that this is something that I do, and I try and stay in that space where I really do not let anything bother me. Once I've thought about something, I've prayed about it. If it's something I can sort out, I'll sort it out. If it's something that I can't sort out, I just drop it, and I don't think about it. So that when I go to bed, I sleep like a baby. When I wake up, I will not think about it. I won't. And what I do is, I'm like, God, I mean, there are times I've said, God, you know, this thing is really bothering me. I don't know what to do, but I'm just going to leave it with you, and that's it. So this supernatural peace is available to us. So the second point is rest. You and I need to rest. Jesus has said this rest is available to you and I. All we have to do is ask him and constantly, consciously put down all our fears before him and leave them there. And anytime our minds wander back there, we put them back at the feet of Jesus. So the second thing is rest. The first one we looked at is food, the word of God being food for us to strengthen us. The last thing I'm going to mention here, and we'll pray,
is, so we've looked at rest, we've looked at food. The third thing is this, keeping our minds calm. Focusing on things that will keep our minds calm. So you might be studying the Word of God. When you're tired and all that, you might rest in, you know, with Jesus's rest. But what do you do with your mind every day? How do you keep your mind from going up and down the place? We'll look at that now. I'll look at two scriptures here. The first one is Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3. It says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." So another portion, another version says that as we consciously keep our minds on focused on God, we will have peace. So every time that our minds are wandering or we're thinking, oh man, what's going to happen? It says we refocus our minds back on God and say, God, I know that you've got me in this situation. I know that you will sort this thing out. We keep our minds on him. If we look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Think about such things. Now, this is such a simple scripture, but it is so powerful. What do I mean by that? Now, this is me personally. I'm not saying you have to do this. For me personally, if I want to like listen to the news or whatever, I go to the BBC website, I look at the news for the day, say that, okay, at least nothing is happening that will, that in England and all that. After that, I switch it off. So I personally will not have the news playing in my house 24/7. There are certain things that I come across and I might read the headlines, but I just leave those things alone. So basically, for me, I don't really focus on bad news. As long as I know what's happening around me, so I'm not ignorant, but I don't read bad news. And I don't entertain myself with bad news either. What do I mean by that? I'm not gonna... By the way, I'm putting a PS on this. This is me. So for example, I don't watch like horror films like, oh, they're gonna kill that guy. Oh, like, no, I don't, because I don't wanna be thinking about that. I don't wanna be going down my garden in the night. I'm like, oh, is there something? Is there someone there? I don't. So I just stay away from those things. So what I try my best to do, I don't hide my head in the sand and say, I pretend like nothing's happening, but I don't focus on those things. I focus on things that are good, you know, things that are lovely, so that my mind can be at rest. Do you understand? And I believe that as Jesus was growing as a child, he focused on the Word of God. We can see from his conversations with the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. I'm sure that his rest was in the Father. And he focused on the things that God wanted him to do. He didn't focus on what people were saying about him and all that. When people were abusing him as he was carrying the cross, he didn't respond. He didn't say, why are you talking to me? He just ignored it. He's like, look, I'm not going to focus on all these things that are distracting me. Do you understand what I mean? So I'm going to stop there today. And what I want to leave us with this what I want to leave us with today is this. We can be in the place where things are happening left, right, and center around us, but our minds are still calm. And we can increase in strength so that even as situations get a bit tougher or whatever around us, we're still not perturbed at all. And how do we get there? By really studying the Word of God. Coming to Jesus with the things that are bothering us and laying them down at his feet
and focusing on things that are good. And as we do this, I know that God will help us. Let us rise and we'll pray this morning. This morning, I just want us to pray a couple of prayers. And the first prayer I'd like us to pray is this. Why don't we bring before Jesus all the things that are on our minds that have been bothering us? We read in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, look, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, who are burdened. So Jesus knows that we're burdened. He knows that we're heavy laden. There are things on our minds. Maybe there are things that we're not even vocalizing, but we're worried about. This morning, let's just take a minute and just talk to Jesus and say, look, Jesus, look, I'm really tired. I need you to help me here. So it's a private conversation between you and God this morning. And I know that God is going to help you and he will touch us. All the areas in our hearts that are bothering us, Jesus says, come, lay them before me. Let me give you peace. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you because of the peace that you've given us, not because we've worked for it or we deserve it, but because of your love for us. Father, I pray for everyone that is here that is experiencing any kind of turmoil. And even if it is not them directly, people who are related to them or people who are connected to them who are experiencing turmoil. Father, we join together as your church and we speak peace into those situations in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that for everyone who is experiencing any kind of difficulty, bring help to their situation, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. For anyone who is troubled in their minds, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. I speak peace into every mind that is troubled. I speak love, the love of God, into every mind. Let your love, O God, bring peace and comfort to every single one who is here and every single one who is connected to us. Father, we thank you. Father, we commit everyone that is here. I commit everyone that is here into your hands. And even those that are not here. That you will touch every single one of us. That you will bring comfort and peace into every situation in our lives. That you will help us to focus on your word, to spend more time studying your word, feeding on your word, so that we can grow strong. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.